the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
First in is a listener who says, what a slap in the face for the squeezed middle. Not a bloody red cent extra in our pockets. Then they give social welfare an extra tenner. It just sends out the wrong messages. It is maddening. We have Ian Guider from the Business Post and his editor Daniel McConnell in the studio, but I want to start with Nancy Fallon, the tax partner for KPMG. We've just heard a summary from Laura of the tax measures, and they're limited, aren't they? For a worker, for any of the 2.8 million or so people listening today, if they're a worker, what's in this budget for them?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a really limited budget for them, and certainly a far cry from the budgets that they would have seen over the last years. It's not a budget with one for everyone in the audience. In fact, there's really only one measure that'll universally apply, and it's got such a modest change, it'll make very, very little impact.
What's that?
So that change is the change to the USE tax band of 2%. That's increased from 27,382 to 28,700 to take account of the fact that the minimum wage has increased, and therefore to ensure that those on the minimum wage continue to contribute up to a top rate at 2% level.
So, the USC doesn't kick in until that level, is it?
Exactly. Well, it kicks in, but it won't kick into the higher rate at 3% until they reach the 28,700 level.
Okay, so everyone gets a benefit out of that, but it's a very small benefit. And then what about things like the sort of the one-off energy credits that people got? They're gone, are they?
They're gone completely. Yep, completely gone.
Does that mean then, so that for the majority of people, unless they get significant pay increases, they're going to be worse off next year when after they've paid their taxes than they are this year?
Yeah, so I think that is where they're going to land. And I think to think about that, I mean, there are a couple of other additional credits that have been extended, introduced. So just to cover them briefly, the rent tax credit, again, that's been extended for another 3 years. That's up to a maximum credit of €1,000 for an individual, €2,000 for a couple. So that's welcomed, I would say. Mortgage interest relief, that was a temporary measure that was introduced when interest rates rose in 2023, and essentially allows an element of relief where you compare the amount of interest you paid in 2022 to that in 2023, 2024. That's now been extended for another 2 years. That's relief up to a maximum of 1,250 or 625 for 2026.
But how many people are actually claiming the mortgage interest relief for the rent credits?
Yeah, well, certainly for the rent credits, the numbers are 2023, and that's really all we have at the moment. That's about 330,000 that have claimed. And obviously they can claim at any time, so you could have more that claim over time. But I think some would find maybe the burden of claiming just a bit difficult, and therefore that has reduced the numbers that claim it.
And people are going to be paying more for their petrol tonight, aren't they? And if they're smokers, they'll be paying extra taxes on their cigarettes as well.
That's right. So petrol has gone up in relation to the carbon tax. That's already been legislated for. That's just over 2% per litre of diesel or petrol. Also in relation to the cigarettes, yes, they've gone up 50 cent a packet, a 20 cigarettes packet. And then also, obviously, we've had the introduction of the e-liquid tax, e-product liquids tax at least, which essentially means the vapes have gone up as well, and they've more than doubled in price from 1 November.
There are limited tax measures, but instead of going to workers, they seem to be all going towards essentially business and housing, aren't they?
I think that's right. And I think that reflects the kind of the government's view that they need to look to the future. They need to address the infrastructure issues which are there, and they need to invest in those so that they can future-proof, I guess, the competitiveness of Ireland in the context of either direct investment, but indeed for the indigenous businesses and seeking to assist them to grow. So I think the focus has very much been on what can we do to get more additional housing stock, and also what can we do to kind of, I suppose, incentivise those indigenous businesses which are here and they seek to grow.
Okay, Ian Guider, columnist with the Business Post. The overall size of this budget, it's adding how much to annual government spending?
It's quite astonishing. You would think from the way people are reacting that we're having an austerity budget, we're actually having one of the largest budget packages ever in history. In total, Pascal Donoghue and Jack Chambers announced an extra €9.4 billion for the economy. The tax package is actually smaller than they had planned a few weeks ago. It's now only €1.3 billion. They had said it would be 1.5, but that
8.1 billion in extra spending, but a 9.4 billion package which delivers nothing to workers?
Well, that seems to be the case, because it's going to take next year almost 117 billion euro to run Ireland. Where is all of that extra 8.1 billion going in? Well, there's 2 billion into the social welfare changes, because we have more people who are older claiming old age pension. We have more people claiming benefits. We are going to put another 1.5 billion euro into the health budget. We're going to have to pay 1.2 billion euro in public sector pay on what we did last year, because there are thousands of people more working in the public sector agencies. There's another 1.4 billion euro going into capital expenditure. Sorry, 2 billion euro going into the capital expenditure. The government is spending another 1.4 billion hiring an extra 12,500 people across Gardaí, teachers, special needs assistants, all of the other agencies.
But it's not necessary spending.
Well, because we've got more people living in the country and claiming and using services, yes, we could say that, but are we getting value for money? Where is the delivery of services more efficiently? The Department of Health, which is getting a record budget of 27.4 billion, they've been told by Jack Chambers that they're going to have to focus on productivity, efficiency, and better financial management of their budget. This is a health service that repeatedly runs over every year and requires a bailout, has a record amount of people, but are we getting the services for all of this money? That's why people can't get a tax cut today or a change in the USC, because it takes so much to run this country that the government are spending so much money every single year just to keep the lights on.
And is it money well spent? I'm going to go to Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, who has a long background as a political editor as well. And let's put this into the context of a very important meeting that's taking place tomorrow evening. The Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party meeting could potentially be the most difficult that Micheál Martin has faced in his time as leader of Fianna Fáil, because there is so much anger in relation to how the Jim Gavin debacle unfolded. How much tougher might that meeting tomorrow night be for him and his minister, Jack Chambers, when they have to face a parliamentary party having given nothing to the workers of Ireland?
Yeah, it's a certainly difficult task, and particularly, as you say, there's very little goodies for the backbenchers to go out and sell, really. Look, I mean, and worse still, the cut to VAT was very much seen as a Fine Gael win, not a Fianna Fáil win, like, and that's really annoying a lot of them at the moment.
And does that cut to the VAT in the hospitality sector? Is that going to benefit anyone who is listening at present other than the employers in that sector?
Well, Thomas Byrne was on television within the last hour, the junior minister, basically saying that he's almost demanding and insisting that those VAT cuts get passed on to consumers. But I think in reality, there's little hope of it happening, Matt. I mean, as you know, are our flat whites and our cappuccinos going to be any less expensive tomorrow than they were today? I doubt it. But I think from a Fianna Fáil perspective, like, this is a tricky, really tricky week for Micheál Martin, because it was his decision to back Jim Gavin. It was his decision to put, more importantly, it was his decision to make Jack Chambers Director of Elections at a time when he's at his busiest anyway. You know, there are always banana skins out of budgets, you know, stuff that's unforeseen. You know, they have to get through that grueling radio programme phone-in thing tomorrow, which is, I think, is the worst element of all of them. They will always say that's the worst element that they have to do, because they generally get full-on public anger. And oftentimes it can be stuff that's not actually in the budget that comes to fruition. But Micheál Martin's credibility is severely damaged as party leader. And, you know, what you're now hearing is people openly questioning his ability to stay on as leader. You know, we know that the transition back to the Taoiseach's office in 2027 was a natural point where most people were saying, okay, that's a good time to hand over. You give your successor enough time to lead into a next general election. But we're now openly hearing talk of he should go before then. And this is all because of how he's run the party for so many years, very close shop within his own kitchen cabinet, Deirdre Glan, Sean Dorgan and Pat McParlam, you know, the unelected officials he has in behind him. He doesn't really consult with the parliamentary party. He was on TV last night saying, oh, we'll, you know, there was no one coming forward in the party. The point being made by a lot of them, there wasn't a process to allow them to come forward. So, I mean, he runs a party with a very tight ship. So I think the way he has handled all of this is coming back to bite him and bite him hard.
And the politics of what happened today and how that will feed into tomorrow night, I wonder how did the Fianna Fáil TDs sitting in the Dáil today react to Piers Doherty or Sinn Féin immediately focusing in on suggesting that the government is out of touch with the cost of living crisis, that even if inflation now is relatively low and Pascal Donoghue was predicting it'll stay around 2%, prices have become so elevated in recent years, particularly with things like food, they're still very expensive compared to where they were a few years ago.
And this is the dilemma that both Pascal Donohue and Jack Chambers have had to be wrestling with. On one hand, they've had the troika of the ESRI, the central bank, and IFAC saying, rein in your spending, you're running structural deficit. If you take the windfall taxes out, you know, you're running structural deficit. You know, you're fueling the economy at a time when you need to sort of rein it in. And at the same time, you have the likes of Sinn Féin, you have the NGO groups, you have everyone saying the poor and the marginalised are becoming poor on your watch. So they've tried to navigate a kind of a central, and of course, you know, Pascal Dunne, who's famed for the mantle of being, you know, prudent Pascal, but we were only talking about it before we came on air. I mean, look at the size of the expansion in this budget.
Is it more than the 5% limit that the government put in place a number of years back?
I refer to my colleague here.
It's 8%. Yeah. It's 8% this year, and that figure is coming from the chief economist at Bank of Ireland. We were told last year that spending, or sorry, for 2025 this year, would rise by about 7.5%. It's going to be 8% next year. And again, that's assuming there's not going to be an overrun in any of the departments. And we know, consistently, the Department of Health runs over.
We have to take a break. We will come back, and there's loads of comments coming into 0874100102, and I promise I'll start them when we come back with Daniel McConnell, Ian Guider and Nancy Fallon after we've had the traffic with Mark Hogan. Okay, some of your comments, 0874100102. James in Dublin 7, it's very simple. There's no general election this year, so no need to bribe us with our own money. And other listeners say, seriously considering leaving my job and signing on, it would be more beneficial to me. No point in working. I'm under so much pressure to keep on top of bills and trying to pay for my daughter's college and accommodation as I'm denied. Susie, no outgoings are taken into consideration. The government has destroyed the incentive to work. There is no longer one. Daniel McConnell, it is the case, isn't it, that people on social welfare, be it pensioners or people getting unemployment assistance, are getting an increase, aren't they, ahead of the rate of inflation and certainly ahead of what taxpayers who are working will get.
Yeah, so they're getting a €10 increase. Obviously, Derek Leary had gone in looking for a €12 increase, and groups like Age Action Ireland and other had looked for about €16 to bring them back up to, you know, I suppose to kind of eliminate the cost of the cost of living, etc., of the last couple of years. It is ahead of inflation because inflation is running around 2%. But like clearly, it gives an advantage to those who are on the welfare system compared to those who are working, because there are no tax breaks for those who are working. Obviously, we've talked about the slight increase in the cut to the USC, but that's really just that's a standing still move. That's not a meaningful kind of move at all. So like, there's a big question here. The government have basically said, you know, we're prioritising investment, we're prioritising the structural difficulties or deficiencies within the system, like infrastructure. But to do that, we cannot give away tax breaks to people. And they're already under significant pressure around the narrowing of the tax base anyway.
A listener says, from today's budget, I got a €500 reduction on my son's college fees, which in reality is a 500 increase on last year's cost. What a joke. And Ian Guider, that is the point, isn't it? That last year there was a reduction, temporary reduction, from 3,000 to 2,000. Now they're trumpeting a permanent €500 decrease, but essentially that is €500 more than somebody would have paid last year for their child in college.
Yes, and last year, the majority of last year's budget package that people felt was actually the giveaways. It was those things like the reduction in college fees. It was, if you're on child benefits or social welfare, the double weeks of bonus payments. It was those energy credits. And there were cuts in the USC last year of, it cost the government $540 million. Did anybody know? Probably not. It was so small. The big thing that people did benefit from last year was the increase in the standard cut-off rates. The government haven't done this year, because if they did, it would have cost them about €1.2 billion. So they took that decision. We would either have a massive tax package if we change the standard cut-off rate, so more people will fall into it if they go from the lower rate into the higher rate, if they get a pay rise or change jobs with a higher salary. That will affect them. And the government also last year spent about $500 million on energy credits. So the choices this year are take away those one-offs and people are not going to get anything, or prioritise infrastructure and investment. There's money going into water. There's a record amount going into housing. Jack Chambers said, I think on the housing budget, it's gone up by about €5 billion is going to be spent on housing this year to deliver social and affordable homes. So you have to take the choice. What do you give? People back a small amount of money to everybody, or prioritise the big issues of the country?
Nancy Fallon of KPMG, this listener says, get rid of carbon taxes. What are the increases in carbon taxes going to do to the average listener, do you reckon?
Yeah, so I suppose the most immediate fact will be the change to petrol and diesel costs from tonight. That'll go up essentially just over 2 cent per litre. So essentially that's going to hit them straight away. And then there.
How much does that cost? If you're filling a tank, it's probably about, I think one estimate I saw, about €3?
€3, exactly, yeah. There or thereabouts. And then obviously it will heat. It will hit in relation to home heating oil or home heating fuel, I should say. But that doesn't hit until May 2026. But bearing in mind, we would have had an increase in May 2025 to take account of that. So, you know, I suppose on one side, you've got the reduced VAT rate from 13.5% down to 9% on electricity and gas. But then on the flip side, you are seeing increases in relation to the carbon tax.
But isn't that just the maintenance of a lower VAT rate that was already applied
to right.
electricity?
That's right, it is. Yeah, it was due to expire at the end of this month and it's been extended.
Okay. Jerry in Kerry says, if the hospitality VAT cut is so important to these businesses, how come it can wait until July of next year?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I suspect, although I don't know, I suspect it was to try and fit within, as Ian mentioned, that 1.3 billion envelope. They had to do only a half year of it. So I'm afraid it's probably from July and not and from the for the full year.
A listener says, no indexation in the bands is a tax increase in income tax. Is that fair to say, essentially, that it is a backdoor increase?
Absolutely. I mean, it's what we call the fiscal drag. I mean, essentially, you might be getting an increase in your salary to reflect the fact that there's inflation, but you're not any better off in real terms because it's going out the door in terms of additional food costs and whatnot. So essentially, you're paying more tax, but you're even though you're getting an additional income, but from a real terms, you're not better off.
Listener says, I went back to work after being made redundant, went back into a salary of 30,000 a year before tax for a 40-hour work week. If you move from €390 a week social welfare means tested to a 30,000 per year job, you take home roughly 105 more per week after tax. But here's the kicker. I spend that €100 a week on fuel alone. That is a problem for people.
Yeah, no, they have said that the eligibility for the fuel allowance will increase and also the amount of fuel allowance will increase as well.
Sorry, I think the fuel that she's mentioned, though, is actually putting petrol or diesel in the car to get to and from work, but yes.
Well, sorry, yeah, this is, like, and the thing is, yeah, like, the carbon increases, you know, the government have basically, they've set their stall out, and the previous government, this government, have set their stall out in relation to carbon increases. You know, they're committed to get to €100 per tonne. But every year, ad nauseum, the opposition criticise them and hammer them for it. Like, Pierce, it was the first thing Pierce Doherty mentioned in his speech this morning was that, you know, the cost of moving around and petrol was going to increase this morning for hardworking families.
Okay, there's another one here, a lengthy one, but I'll put it to you, Danny, because I know you're going to be leaving us in a little while. I have a small manufacturing business in Ireland employing about 50 people. The budget today is a slap in the face to anyone but a manufacturing business. The constant huge increases in minimum wage does huge damage to our competitiveness. None of my staff are in the minimum wage bracket, but all of them will now be looking for an increase to match the one announced today. My energy bills have more than doubled in the last 3 years, while places like Germany have recently announced huge energy subsidies for manufacturing.
Yeah, so the government, in response to all of this, have said we can't be seen to be going against the Low Pay Commission. The Low Pay Commission have recommended the sufficient increases to get to a living to a living wage. But what they've tried to do is soften that, slow it down. You know, slow down the pace of sort of sick day increases, all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, there was a recognition about 18 months ago that the pace of these sort of reforms and the increased burdens on businesses was too hard, too soon, and coming too close together. But at the end of the day, they've committed to a 65 cent increase in the minimum wage. That will have an impact on real businesses and businesses in a lot of industries where margins are extremely thin. Like, I mean, these are industries that don't, you know, enjoy margins of 10, 15%. These are margins of 2, 3%. And, you know, there's a question here. Is it government policy to push businesses that are viable into unviability? And that's what they do with a lot of these measures.
Okay. Just before you leave us, what other thoughts will you leave us with?
Well, I think ultimately, if you're Pascal Donoghue and Jack Chambers, I think the big win is that they've managed to unwind the one-off measures that they've broken, because I think had they had to go ahead with those for a fourth year, they become embedded in the system. So they've managed to break and
they become permanent rather than one-off.
Yeah. I think, to Ian's point, we were discussing this off air, I think, you know, where they are vulnerable is the scale of the underlying deficit once the windfall taxes are withdrawn. I think, you know, I think you might correct me.
It's 13.5 billion next year. It's 7.5 billion this year, rising to 13.5 next year if you exclude that windfall corporation tax receipts.
Like, that's a significant worry now from my perspective, because this is not prudence. This is reckless government you know, kind of management here. You can say that, you know, we're running surpluses, we're putting money away and all the rest of it, but if you're running structural deficits at a time when, because we know about these windfall taxes, they're not guaranteed, and look what happened in 2006, 2007, you know, those windfalls at the time of stamp duty disappeared extremely quickly, and we found ourselves in really, really significant trouble, and we're just walking ourselves back into that similar position. It's not, maybe not to the same degree, but we are certainly walking ourselves back into the same territory. We are narrowing the tax base. We are not doing enough to sufficiently robustly protect the economy, notwithstanding the money that they are putting away. So I do think Pascal Donoghue and Jack Chambers are open to criticism on that front.
Okay, Mark in Limerick says, with the VAT decrease on the catering, will anyone ever see it on a Sunday lunch? More than likely not. Well, it doesn't kick in until July of next year, so you certainly won't be paying less for your coffee or your grub in the time before next July. And when next July comes, good luck with that. Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, thank you for being with us. Ian Guider, your colleague, is staying with us, as is Nancy Fallon, tax partner with KPMG. And coming up in the next hour, we will have both Jack Chambers and Pascal Donoghue with us. But first, we need to take a break.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.